Hello, everyone. You are listening to Alive in the Hive. So in today's episode, I had the pleasure with speaking with my boyfriend's cousin, Lauren, and she was so sweet. We had connected on discussing postpartum depression, anxiety, and just overall being a mom and what that entails, just from the struggles and the triumphs. And it was just an amazing experience overall. I'm so, so grateful that she took the time to connect with me. This was my first podcast connecting with someone over the phone since she lives in New Jersey. And that was a very different experience as the phone kind of kept cutting in and out. So I did edit out those sections. So if for some reason you're listening and some part might not completely flow 100%. Just know that I did the best I could because I don't like to edit things, but we had to do like 11 takes to kind of get through for our clips. So it, again, I am happy to introduce our guest, Lauren Jones. I am so appreciative again of her just talking about her perspective and just being open and honest, especially like a topic like postpartum depression, because that's something that isn't really talked about and there's a lot of stigma held on that. So I was just thrilled and she did awesome. She said she was nervous, but you'll hear she sounds way more calm and collected than I am. And her audio is a lot better on her end than for some reason mine. In the way I did it, kind of had its speakerphone, so I sound really loud and obnoxious, but we get through it. So thank you guys for listening in. If you guys have any questions or feedback, please feel free to reach out to us. You can leave a voice message. I say us because if you have a question for Lauren, I can always connect that to her too. You can also connect with us on Instagram, Alive in the Hive. And also message us there too. So have a wonderful day and thank you guys for tuning in.
Yay!
Hey girl, how are you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm doing great. This is so fun. This is my first phone call one.
This is exciting.
It really is. So you said you had to drive up mountains to get to your house?
Yes, so I live on top of a mountain.
Very cool.
Tippy top. It's absolutely gorgeous. And I have zero service from the top of the mountain to the bottom.
Oh my goodness. I guess I didn't realize you guys lived on top of a mountain because is your farm on top of there or is it somewhere else?
Yep. Nope. It's on top of the mountain. And it's funny because, you know, we live in New Jersey. And when people think of New Jersey, they're like, what? There's farms and trees and, you know, they think of city and highway and this.
They think of Jersey Shore.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's completely not like that where we live.
That's awesome. I did not realize it. How is it there in the winters?
Horrendous. We get a lot of snow.
A lot of ice.
A lot of ice, a lot of snow. And, you know, with the ice and stuff and the heavy snow, we have a lot of like branches that break, trees that fall down, wires come down. So
it's rough too. Do you ever have times where you guys are kind of stuck up there?
Yes.
So you probably do. You have a good little emergency stock?
In our basement we do.
That's really smart.
Yeah, but,
my mom's really big on that.
Yeah, we can stuff, and we just have, you know, just a little extra, and it helps that we have a wood stove, so if we do lose power, we at least have heat, and, you know, we can warm up our water on the stove and whatnot, so.
You guys are very sustainable, then. What is your, what kind of things do you guys can?
So we do, like, fruits and stuff. We make, our own jams and jellies. We, you know, like just stuff from our garden.
Yeah.
Vegetables and just stuff like that.
Awesome. Do you do any applesauce?
Yep. We do applesauce. We do crab apple jelly, apple jelly, you know, all that stuff.
Like, man, you're going to have to bring a basket the next time you're in Michigan.
Yes, I will.
That's so fun. I love that. I had no idea you guys were so sustainable and self-sufficient.
We had a hurricane at the one time and we were out of power for over 20 days.
Which
And
hurricane was that?
I'm trying to think. It was a few years ago.
It Hurricane Sandy?
I
Or was
want to
that a
say,
tropical storm?
no, I want to say either was it Sandy or Irene? One of those. I don't
One
exactly
of those
remember.
ladies. Said you just picked up your daughter, Claire. How is she doing?
She's great. She just turned 5 and
Oh my goodness.
she's just full
She's
of
such a
sass.
cutie, too. Do you want anything about her? She is kind of a unique little spirit.
So she's like a wild horse, I would say. She's just open to anything, and she's just so hands-on with everything and wants to be a part of everything. And
Right.
like she'll see people and she'll just walk right up to whomever, and she
Oh
just
my
wants to be
goodness.
with them and hang with them and just
Be
go
a
with
part.
it. Yeah.
That's so cute.
And it's funny because we go to church. We go to a Methodist church and our friends are Catholic. And because her friends go to this church, she's like, "Mom, can we go? I just want to see what it's like." And I'm like, "Okay, sure. We'll schedule a date." And
Cool.
so we're just going with it. And she just likes to experience different things and see different things. And
That's awesome. Do you ever have to kind of, because since she is so friendly, do you ever have to kind of have the stranger danger talk? I know she's young, so it's hard to understand.
yes. So there's times, where she'll just go off and I'm like, "You really need to stay by me." And she's like, "Well, I could see you." And I'm like, "I know, but if somebody pulls up and takes you," because that's very real and it happens and you see it all the time, and people think, "Oh my God, that's never going to happen to me." But it can, and you just never know. So,
And she's such a cutie too. It's like that makes that really tough and real as well
I
too. I
mean,
have
go ahead.
Oh, I was gonna say I have kiddos that are on my street that like are waiting for the bus stop or just walking by, and I am always nervous for them because I don't see their parents around. It was different when we were growing up, but I think I have, even though I'm not a parent, I have a different perspective now, and I always feel like a creepy person because I drive a black van that it really doesn't have windows. And so there was one time there was a little girl that she probably was really close by her house, but I didn't know. And she was walking down the street, and I wanted to stop and be like, "Hey, do you are your parents around? Can we like take you back to your house or like walk you that way?" But I'm like, I can't stop because I look so creepy in the van, and it's a van I have for work. I love my van, but I do look, a little creepy. So I try to be very mindful of how I approach children and making sure I'm not alone with them because there's just so many different things you have to be careful
Well,
of.
even there's been a few instances where, like, I've had older men come up to me, and I've had one man take a picture of my daughter. And
What?
yeah, and that didn't sit well with me because he didn't even ask, "What is he using that photo for?" I have no idea. And
Right.
I've had this one man, I see him quite a not a lot, but we bump into him every so often, and every single time he's like, "Your daughter is just so beautiful." Whether he's being genuine about it, like, or not, it's just really creepy.
Right.
And even at Disney, I've had a man approach me and saying that he wanted to take a picture of my daughter, and I was like, "No, absolutely not."
Wow, good for you though. 'Cause that would be something that you wouldn't necessarily expect to happen for somebody to want to just randomly take a picture of your child. Was she dressed up or anything?
She
Like, was she
was, she
like a princess?
was. But
Okay.
it what didn't sit right with me was this man, he was all alone. he was not with a wife and kids.
Got on that.
It wasn't like, you know, oh, let me show my wife or my daughter, you know, it was just really kind of awkward.
Oh, absolutely, too. And I think just in our society, I mean, unfortunately, we just hear a lot of times that things are from men. And so that's kind of off-putting. And I think we're a little bit more hyper-vigilant of men.
Yes.
They're being a little different. But that's not necessarily a bad thing.
Right.
But all men aren't bad, but there are some that have made us have to be very aware.
Right. Well, even and with you have women, too. You never know.
You're so right on that. But I would say more for me, my vibes normally come from men. And maybe that's just something from my past or with myself. But that's just, you know, I always feel more awkward.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, so with Claire being 5, what is she really into right now? Because it sounds like she's just kind of, like you said, open-minded, wild horse kind of everywhere. Is there things that she really likes right now, or
she really loves being outside. She likes
awesome.
She always wants to go hiking. She loves the water. She loves swimming. Right now she's in dance, but she's getting kind of bored with that.
Okay.
And they are just starting soccer signups for school. And I was like, do you want to do soccer? And she was like, no. And I was like, okay, is there a particular reason? Well, Mom, they wear shoes and I don't want to wear shoes. Can you sign me up?
But babe.
Yeah, she just, you know, she takes her clothes off too and runs outside all the time.
Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness.
Secluded where we live.
Right. Yeah. She just wants to be a wild hippie woman.
She really is. And so she's like, can you sign me up for gymnastics or something like that?
I was just going to ask. Yeah.
Yeah. So, and she likes Ninja Warrior. Have you ever watched that?
I was just going to say karate or taekwondo. I was thinking of shoeless activities. And those were a couple that I thought of, even swimming with her liking the water.
Yeah, so she used to do swim lessons and stuff like that, but she just likes to just try a little bit of everything. And, you know, I'm just trying to not persuade her with what I want her to do.
Right, that's very cool, because there are some parents that can be so pushy.
Yes, and it's hard because there's like, well, I really enjoy this. And I mean, she told me too, like she eventually wants to do, well, right now she wants to do basketball. I hate basketball. I think it's the most boring sport. I don't understand it. I'm just like, okay. But she really wants to do basketball as well. And I'm like, okay, you know, so I can't push her to do, you know, because then she's not going to enjoy it. And
right.
You know, and not that I spoil my kid, but it really is all about her and her own experiences and just figuring out who she's going to be when she grows up.
Wow, what a little wise soul she is, too. So, and that's great that you've been so open to just letting her be her.
Yeah. It's hard sometimes, but
I'm sure.
You know, within reason, if she's not hurting herself or others or... you know, I'm okay with it, you know, even with allowing her to dress the way she likes to. And, you know, there's times where she has a winter hat on and mittens and it's 95 degrees out. And my husband's like, you're letting her go to the store like that? And I'm like, yes. You know, she had 2 different shoes on the other day.
Oh, and she probably loved it.
I'm just like, yeah, you got shoes on. You're dressed appropriately, you know.
Absolutely. Sometimes you have to pick your battles.
Yes. Yeah.
I was wondering what it's like to be a girl mom.
To be a what? I'm sorry. Say it again.
To be a girl mom.
To be a girl mom.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I can't really – I love that I have a girl because I feel like I can – relate to her better. But she's my only child, so I can't really say I would be better with boys or not. But I see boy moms, and like my one girlfriend, she has 2 twin boys and they're both 5, And like, she's an awesome mom. And like, you know, boys are just so like tough, and Claire's tough too, but she's a girl. And not that that's a bad thing, you know, but I don't know. I can't really say what it's like. It's just, I don't know. I'm a mom, and at the end of the day, my kid's alive.
Yep, 100%. And that is a successful day.
I can't really say. I can tell you that, you know, every day is, not every day, but most days are struggles, you know. It's stressful, and you know, I just try to enjoy every little thing that I can with her,
and absolutely,
and just try to be positive. And it's not all positive. Like, you know, I'm not perfect, and by all means, nobody's perfect. And
he is. That's real life.
Yeah, and I just feel like, you know, with our society, you know, with social media and everything, everybody posts these pictures, and they're all great to look at, you know, and everybody wants to brag about their kid, and that's great. But you sometimes people look at these photos and you're thinking, oh my God, this mom has it together. She's so happy. She's this, she's that, you know. And you feel like you're struggling every day. You're miserable. You know, you don't know if you're doing the right thing. You don't know if you're doing the wrong thing. You're trying not to screw your kid up, you know. You're just trying to get through the day.
And, oh, absolutely. And I do you feel like with your, oh, so sorry to interrupt. You no, keep going.
Go ahead.
Do you feel like with your friends that you have that also have kiddos, do you feel like they've been pretty transparent and real about their journey and their struggles? And is that helpful?
Yes, because I have a few friends that struggle with postpartum depression. I struggled with baby blues and a little bit of postpartum depression after I had my daughter. You know, and it's very real. And I think it's not talked about a lot in our society. It's just kind of pushed under the rug. Because I know when, after I had my daughter, I struggled tremendously. And, you know, I felt like I was like not a fit mom. I couldn't, you know, I'm like, oh my God, how am I going to be a good mom? I can't even take care of myself. You know, like I was struggling with eating and I wanted to cry all the time. And I enjoyed my, you know, having a baby, but it was to the point where I was like, I'm not a good mom. I can't be her mom. You know, I don't want anything to do with her because I feel like I can't be there for her. And it's a struggle.
That's so hard. Yeah, I'm very overwhelming too. Can you share with me what baby blues are? Is that during pregnancy then? I guess that's just a new term to me, and I want to make sure I understand what you mean and where you're coming from.
Okay, so baby blues means like you're very emotional. Like your bonding with your baby doesn't really happen immediately. It can be a little bit of a challenge for you to feel like you're bonding with your child. Like for an example, like me, I really wanted to breastfeed. And I got a lot of like feedback from people like, oh my God, you're breastfeeding. That's disgusting. You know, and,
really?
Yes. And, you know, like, oh, that's so personal. You know, boobs are so sexual. And I'm like, oh.
Was this out in public or people you knew?
Both.
Really?
Yeah. And
I'm
really stubborn. And I'm like, I'm breastfeeding. I don't care.
Heck yeah, girl.
It is my dream to breastfeed. And I feel like that is best for my child. Not that bottle feeding is better. You know, as long as you're feeding your kid, who cares? Like, why does it matter?
Like you said, at the end of the day, if the kid is alive, you're good.
Yeah, but breastfeeding was one of the hardest things that I had to learn to do because it doesn't come naturally. as you think it does. You know, just you struggle with the baby latching, and it just takes time. And so I felt like at that time, like, I'm like, this is a great way to bond with my child. Like, I'm feeding my own kid with my own milk that I produced and that my body made. Like, this is amazing and awesome. And, you know, but I struggled with it. I struggled with breastfeeding, and, you know, just, it was very frustrating. So at that time that I thought I could bond with my child, I was struggling, and it was more frustrating and not like an, oh, this is so sweet moment. But when it did work and it went well, it was a bittersweet moment.
You probably appreciated it more than maybe someone else that just, it went, flowed so easily.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I really had to work at it, but, you know, and like, you're changing your life. Like, you come home with a kid, like, you just feel extremely overwhelmed. But with postpartum depression, you feel probably like worthless, mm-hmm. you know? I was always sad. I cried a lot because I was sad. Mm-hmm. I felt like, I just felt empty, and, like, my whole journey to, like, get pregnant, I had a issue with that, with infertility and other things. Like, I just felt so sad, like, my body is failing me, you know, I'm just not meant to be a mom, and just
so hard.
Yeah. And I was just always like unclear, and just like what I wanted, mm-hmm. you know, thinking wise. Like, I was just, okay, I'm gonna do this, and then I'd be like, oh no, maybe I'll.
How did you get through that period of time, and how long did it last? So do you have any outside support or counseling, or what was that period like? Okay.
So I hid it from everyone.
Oh,
I was so scared to tell everyone, because even my doctor, because I didn't want that title that you are depressed, or you're this, or you have to take medicine for that. And I mean, if anyone feels like they are struggling and they need to reach out, like, I highly recommend reaching out. It's okay if you have to take medicine, but at the time, I just felt like, I'm not doing this, and I'm going to hide it from everyone. And, you know, and my parents picked up on it. They knew, you know, and I just couldn't tell them. I wanted to cry every second. And even I remember my one friend calling me, and she goes, you have not posted anything about being home, being with your baby, pictures, nothing. Nobody's heard from you. What is going on? And I remember I just got like so quiet, and I just couldn't say anything. Like, what do you say to that? Mm-hmm. You know?
That's an exciting phone noise.
Yes.
That's how they do it in the mountains, New Jersey. So do you end up telling her then, or was it the first time you really faced it in that moment?
At that time, I'm like, oh my God, other people are starting to notice, you know?
Mm.
And also, you know, we do live on a farm. So my husband did not want children. And, you know, and I was told prior, I guess I'm kind of going back, that I would never probably be able to have children. So right then and there, I'm like, oh my God, you know, I'm not going to be able to have kids. And then Mitchell's like, well, that's okay, I don't want kids. And I'm like, okay, so I don't feel like I'm failing him as a partner, you know, because I can't provide him with kids. But then, you know, I just so happened to get pregnant, and it just happened.
How did you figure out? Was it something where it was like how they show it in the movies where they throw up one time and they're like, this is how it happened? Or did you get really sick, or how did you know?
So, it was weird. I miss my periods anyway. I'm always late on my periods. Sometimes I don't get them for 8 months at a time because I have polycystic ovarian syndrome. which that's another thing if you want to talk about later, we can. But so I like just didn't get my period. And I just remember thinking, like, what about if I'm pregnant? And I'm like, no, that's just stupid to think that, I guess. You know, why would I even think that? Why am I even entertaining this thought that I may be pregnant? Secretly, I was like, oh my God, like, I would love to be a mom. You know, this is one thing that I've always wanted. And, and the second line never appeared. So I just threw it away. I just threw it in the garbage. I'm like, I can't believe I would even think that I was pregnant. The doctor has already told me that I would probably not be able to ever have children.
Right.
So, and then later on in that night, I had like these weird, like stomach pains. It was like in my side. I'm like, I don't know what's going on. And then I thought I got my period, but it like it only lasted like maybe 20 minutes and it was like done. And I'm like, that's weird. So a couple of days later, a friend from work, she thought she was pregnant and she already has a daughter. And she's like, you know, I explained to my daughter that we need to go to the doctor to get checked. You know, that's the proper way to do it. She goes, can you just pick me up a test? I said, sure, no problem. So I picked up a test, and it's funny. My mom called me.
Like the second test.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I picked up a test, but it was for my friend. I got a 3-pack because sometimes you just never know, you know?
Yeah.
And my mom called me at that time. She was, what are you doing? I said, oh, I'm on my break. I'm at the pharmacy getting a pregnancy test. And she's like, what? And I was like, well, no, it's not for me, it's for my friend at work. And she's like, oh, okay, like, haha, you're funny. And and then at work, you know, she's like, well, did you get your period? And because we always joked before I was married, I was like, oh, we're gonna be pregnant at the same time and blah blah blah.
Oh my God.
She goes, she calls me sister. So she goes, sister, did you take a test? I said, I did, and it was negative. She goes, sometimes it takes a couple of weeks. Like, take another one. There's, you know, two more here. So I'm like, okay, but I don't know why I'm wasting a test. Well, right. Sure enough, it was positive, and hers was positive, and it was just like, oh my God.
Whoa.
I just couldn't believe it, you know?
Yeah.
And I just remember telling my husband, I came home with it and I gave it to him. And he goes, there's just no way. Like, you told me. And I said, I know what I told you, but I'm telling you what the doctor told me.
Right.
And like, we weren't even like we tried, but like nothing happened, you know? So it was just like, what? And he's like, you need to go to the doctor. And I'm like, okay.
So, and how many weeks are you probably at this point?
I was about 4 weeks along.
Okay.
So I went to the doctor and sure enough, I was pregnant. And I'm like, I cannot believe this. So
holy cow.
My husband was terrified. I was terrified of his reaction. It was, God, we're pregnant. You know, this is great.
Yeah, he was scared.
He was terrified, like really on edge. And even like when I brought my daughter home, he was scared to hold her. He was afraid he was gonna hurt her. And he kind of distanced himself from her. And, you know, plus two, living on a farm, we were already so behind with our farm work. So my father-in-law came up and helped him. So he was out working hours and hours on end, you know, just to try to catch up. But
right, this is, are you talking about after Claire?
Yeah, this is after she came home. Yeah, I'm like kind of jumping ahead now, so
I'm right on track.
I think that kind of made the baby blues kind of worse, because you see in the movies and you see all this stuff on Facebook like, oh my God, the baby's home, everybody's so excited, you know. It wasn't like that.
And you're like, what the heck?
Yeah, and I think it's all about like perception. Like you look at this stuff and you're perceiving it as this is going to happen to me. Like everything's going to be so happy and great. And
And then
but
when it's not, you think something's really wrong and you don't want to talk
yeah.
about that. Yeah.
And finally, it came to the point where I'm like, I just, I had a difficult birthing experience with Claire as well. So at the end, I tried to give birth to her normally,
Sure.
vaginally, and it just didn't happen. So we had to go in for an emergency C-section because she actually turned a little bit and got stuck. And come to find out, my pelvis is just not large enough to pass, to have her pass down through. So she had the biggest bruise on her head. I felt horrible. I cut off her oxygen because of how she got stuck, and her heart rate dropped dramatically.
Oh, that's scary.
So it was, that's it, we're done. 10 minutes, you're going in for a C-section. So, and my doctor walked out and she goes, get her ready. I want her in 10 minutes. And I was like, okay, this isn't good. Like it's going to be okay. Like she just wasn't, she was just really stressed out and just, it was really bad. So, and the NICU team's waiting, right there to take her away as soon as she comes out to make sure she's okay. And it was just, so like even it started with that, like my body failed me. I'm a bad mom. I'm, so finally with everything, from getting pregnant and, like, oh my God, this is happening to, I couldn't even birth my kid correctly. Like,
That's
people
so.
say, well, just because you had her by C-section doesn't make you a real mom. Yes, it does. Let me tell you. So it just came to a point in time after, I had Claire home. I'm like, I got to get out of this funk. I have to stop thinking and believing what everybody is telling me and how I should be as a mom and how I should treat my kid and how I should feed my kid. Even with diapers, I ordered cloth diapers. This lady made the most awesome cloth diapers for me. They were so beautiful. And
That's awesome.
my mom is like, that's disgusting. And I'm like, it's like a pad when you have your period. You just clean it and whatever, And she's like, I am not doing that. And I'm like, well, that's fine, but she's my kid and I, we're doing this, so so really, what it comes down to, it's just, being yourself and just doing what you think is right for your kid. And not just because you're doing it differently from everyone else doesn't mean you're a bad mom.
So correct.
And you're not doing it right. I even people that I work with, I hear horror stories all the time and, they're like scarred for life. Like, oh my God, I thought I was doing the wrong thing. And, come to find out they're not doing it their way. And then now it's too late to go back and fix whatever, because the other person's telling them, like, you don't need to, do this. You don't need to do that. And it's like, why should it matter? It should be like, you know what? You're a mom. You're doing an awesome job. Rocket girl. Like,
Supporting one another and being open if somebody does have questions or needs support.
I mean, even like my one friend, she's a great mom. She has postpartum depression and she still struggles to this day with it. And I just remember going to her house and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do your dishes for you. And dishes piled high. It's like, oh my God, she's crying. She's like, I'm so sorry. I don't want you to see me or my house like this. And I'm like, it's okay. I'm not here to see your house. I'm here to see you and to see how you're doing and to make sure you're okay. And I just remember like her dishes were so high and she didn't really talk to me, and maybe because she didn't know what to say or how to say it, because she was really struggling with depression and stuff. And I just remember I just listened to her whenever and just sat with her. And
oh, awesome.
You know, and I went into her kitchen and I said, I'm going to do your dishes. And she immediately got up and she's like, oh my God. I said, just sit down. Like, just, you need to relax. It's okay.
I'm here for you. I support you, girl. Yeah. Like, it's all good.
Like, I can do dishes, you know, and yeah. Do you need me to do laundry? Like, what do you want me to do? And, you know, and now, like, later on, she's like, you know, that was just so nice of you to come over. And, you know, even though I didn't know what to say or how to say it, you know, you just sat there with me. And then,
I'm sure that changed her life and her perspective on compassion and helping others.
Yeah. And I mean, sometimes, you know, like, I like to be there for people, but I'm the type that I don't always necessarily know what to say, whether it's the right thing or not. But I
think, oh, it's hard. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I think just being there is important, and just saying, you're doing a great job, your kids are alive, you fed your kids today,
you did it, A+, gold sticker,
it's awesome.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And how old was Claire at that time when you had assisted that mom?
Claire was almost 2.
Okay, so you would kind of, and tell me how long your postpartum lasted.
I probably like 8 months.
8 months. Okay. And do you still struggle with any depression? I know we were talking about, for the podcast, talking about anxiety. I was just curious.
I don't. So for me, I get kind of like seasonally depressed. I don't take any medication or anything like that. But like the winter time is worse for me.
That's a hard time for a lot of people too.
Yeah.
I mean, the SADD, the sad, I mean, that's so real.
Yeah. And, but I just get through it. I don't know. I mean, this year wasn't terrible, but there's been other years, where I just struggle, you know, but, you know.
Do you do anything to kind of prep for that time frame when you know that's coming, when you're like, all right, winter's coming, or how do you kind of try to keep yourself in a good place mentally?
I'm a fly by your pants kind of gal, so just,
I hear you, me too.
I'm like, oh, it's here.
Oh, it already happened, I forgot.
You know, but
and it's not like you guys don't have winter there. I mean, you guys get a lot of winter.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, we'll be buried with a ton of snow, and then you get to the bottom of the mountain and they have a dusting, and it's like
they're like, oh, how's the weather down here?
Yeah, like I go to work and they're like, where did you come from? And I only live 15 minutes from work, and I'm like, oh.
You probably have snow on top of all of your car. Like, yeah, this
huge massive pile.
Like, I think you came from Canada. Yeah.
I'm like, oh, just up the road. They're like, what?
It's fine. Yeah, and 15 minutes isn't that long of a drive for it to be that drastic too. So that's kind of got to be scary on its own, especially if you guys have some ice.
Yeah, it's interesting, you know.
Oh yeah, how does Claire like the winter?
She loves it.
Oh yeah, I figured she's an outside girl and just into everything.
I mean, it was sleeting the one night, and it just started, like, we had snow, and then it changed over to sleet, and she goes, we have to go out right now and go sledding. Oh. And I'm like, Claire, like, she goes to bed, she gets ready about 8:30 for bed, and she's in bed by 9, because, you know, she likes to say prayers before bed.
That's so cute.
And I'm not really religious, so I don't know what to say or how to pray or what. I'm just trying to go with it to, you know.
Support her, and
yeah, so we say our prayers, and then we read a few books because she loves reading. But I mean, at this time she's like, we have to go out right now, and it's like 8:27.
Oh, and you're like, no.
And I'm like, well, you have school tomorrow. And she's like, it's okay, mom, it's okay. And I'm like, okay, let's do it, you know, like, we're never gonna do this again. I mean, I'm sure we will, but
Yeah, but
Let's
just in
live in the
that
moment.
spur in the moment. Yep, absolutely. And I feel like there's so much we can learn from kids.
Yes.
What would you say, or would not to put you on the spot, but what would you say just from your sweet Claire that you've kind of learned from her?
You know, she really pushes me to live in the moment and to, you know, I mean, a lot of our stuff here is unplanned and but she just totally embraces everything. And it's okay, you know, we're gonna get through this and let's just live in the moment and take the positives out of this moment and just have fun with it. And
Love that. And especially if she likes to play outside, I'm sure it's something where she notices all the critters and
yeah.
little bugs and playing in the dirt and
Yeah, and you know, she's just a sweet kid. I mean, she's always concerned about everybody and just really open to everybody's feelings and how they're feeling, you know.
so too. And
You
especially
know.
with her being vocal, because when I was around her, she was probably three at that time, would you say? When I saw you guys at the wedding, that was a
Yes.
bit ago.
Yes.
Yeah. So
Yeah.
she was kind of, I know she said she was into everything, not in a bad way at all, but she was just definitely vibrant out and around. And she said, yeah, a lot. I remember that. She's like, yeah, and just was walking around. So it's going to be so cool to see you guys in the fall again, and just to see kind of how she's progressed as
Yes.
she's grown too. And just sounds like she's a beautiful little soul that's just kind of taken on an
She
energy of
likes to shine, you know.
her own. Yeah, likes that spotlight.
And she like, I mean, I kind of do this too, but you know, just being a mom, I don't care what anybody will tell me or say, like, well, you should do this instead of that, because it's just so frustrating to hear from other people and just exhausting to try to.
You've probably gotten more bold over
Yeah, and it's not fun, but you know, it's but she's like, she doesn't care what people think about her, or you know, she walked up to these girls the other day, and you know, they were older. We were at the campground. My parents have a camper, and they go camping on the weekends and stuff.
Hmm.
And we were walking back from the rec hall, and Claire's like, I'm gonna go walk with these girls, and I'm like, that's great, you know. Go for it. And this girl turned around and she goes, I don't even know why you're following us, but we're going where you're not allowed to go. So quit following us. And Claire looked at me like she was crushed. And I'm like, and of course, as her mom, I'm like, listen up, lady. And I was just like, well, she's just trying to, you know, hang with you guys because you're the older girls. And, you
Do you
know,
think they were?
she's trying to have fun, you know.
Oh,
And then they didn't say anything and they like ran away, but
yeah. Were they like 8 or 9 or 10 and 12 or?
so the one girl was probably like around 8 and then there was two other girls that were probably like 10, 11-ish, I
So
would
they're kind
say.
of coming into that sassy,
Yeah.
like, almost a
Yeah.
teenager kind of vibe. 10 going on 30.
Yeah, and I feel too like, you know, with kids, like me growing up, I mean, I'm sure this is for every girl. I can't speak for everyone, but you know, through middle school, like the end of elementary school into middle school, you know, you have all these hormonal changes. You're just trying to like fit in and be cool with everyone and not weird and, you know, be yourself.
Trying to not be weird is like extra weird too when you think about
Yes.
it. You're
Yeah.
trying to
Like,
just fit into this mass majority. It's like not everybody can be exactly the same, but it seems like it's the right thing to do at the time.
right. And I hate that. Like, you know, because you don't know who you are. Well, I felt like you just don't know who you are or where you stand as a young woman. And you know, I'm in my mid-30s now, and now I just don't care,
Yep.
you
Yeah,
know, and I love that now. I'm just like, whatever, I'm doing me, and And I think that's so hard, you know, and like these young girls, I saw that in them, like they were trying to, like they were being catty and just
Oh, yeah, and then
mean.
they turn into kind of the group mentality because if there's one kind of bully or leader, they all kind of are subservient, follow anything because they're like, this is what we do.
And Claire was like, you know, she was just like, why are those girls like that? You know, and they should be nicer. And you know,
You're
I was just trying to be,
like, great observation.
yeah. And she's like, I was just trying to be their friend. And I'm like, you know what? I wish more people saw that and they weren't weirded out by, you know, or maybe they were anxious because socially, because somebody new walked into their group, or, you know, but it's just.
Hard to describe to a 5-year-old, even though she is mature for her age, but it's still, I mean, a
I didn't
sad
know what to say to her. I'm like, you know, I'm like, Claire, they're just, you know, just they don't want to play with you know, and that's okay, but you know, let's, you know, do you want to do something else? Or I don't know. I didn't know what to do. I'm like,
Yeah, because in that moment, it's kind of on the spot because it's not like you were expecting that situation to happen or where you have a little rule book of or guidelines like, oh, this is what you say when your kids are pushed away by older kids.
yeah, like there's no, yeah, you're right. There's no book. There's no parenting book of do's and don'ts. It's,
Isn't. Maybe we'll have to do a collaboration piece and get a lot of moms to put together how they've gotten through something. Are you part of any mom groups at all?
I used to be, but I stopped going because I felt like people were just judgmental and
Gotcha.
you know, and I was
It
even told,
wasn't as helpful as it could have been.
yeah, I, you know, and I'm just like, instead of, you know, telling each other, you know what, this didn't work for me, but it's working for you, that's great, you
That
know,
makes sense.
I don't know, I just, you know, and even like when Claire was young, I would told like, you know, stop holding her so much, you're spoiling her, and this was like from my own grandmother, like stop
Sure.
holding her, you know, you don't do that. She's not going to be independent. And, you know, she's just going to cry. You just have to let her cry it out. Well, to me, as a parent, like, I'm not saying if you do let your kid cry it out, that's the wrong thing to do.
You're
Like, if
just talking
that,
about for your experience and for what your
right, if that works for you, great. But for me, it killed me. I felt so guilty. And I just felt like, you know, that babies aren't a burden to me, like they're a blessing, and you know, like she's my only kid, and I had a hard time, you know, with pregnancy and this and that, and I'm just like, this is what felt right to me, being there for her even as a baby and nurturing her for her needs, and you know, I'm just like, why do you have to judge me? And I'm like, this is my kid, and I'm gonna raise her how I feel is fit and right for us. You know, just because it's not right for you and your kids doesn't mean it's right for me. So it's not one shoe fits all, you know.
That's so true on that too. I wish people thought more about that, even just for their own lifestyles.
Yes.
Celebrating our unique differences and characteristics in the way we do things.
Right. And I mean, and Claire's just so into everything, you know, she's like, well, let's try this, let's try that. And it's like, there's nothing wrong with going out of the box and trying different things and different traditions and whatnot, you know, just because they're not your own, you know, so.
Oh, absolutely. And I think that's really cool just with her wanting to try that different church that her friends went to just because as well.
Yeah, like I know nothing about, you know, Catholics and their beliefs and church, and I'm like, I just texted my friend, I'm like, hey, like I feel a little weird, you know, asking you this, but you know, I, for me as a parent, like I'm like, I would feel more comfortable if we just, if I went with you, if that would be okay, you know, I'm like, Claire just is really interested and just wants to see what it's about, so she's like, oh yeah, absolutely, you know.
That's cool. She was so receptive as well,
Yeah.
which is very
So
nice too.
So if I could change one thing about society, I wish that people would be more open and just honest and just go with it.
Oh, absolutely. And that probably stems from a lot of insecurity from them as well.
Yes.
And it's so easy to do. I notice, I mean, obviously I post things all the time, but something that I had posted recently was saying when I judge someone else, that reflects something that I'm struggling with. And I was like, wow, that is so true. It's so easy to see, well, if it works, maybe, I mean, in this situation, oh, if that works for that mom, oh, they're doing something that's completely radical, or maybe it just doesn't line up with their beliefs. But it's so hard when you judge and point fingers. It would be so much better if people could just look things with just curiosity. It's not that they have to do them or follow that, but just like you said, be open, be supportive, and just be curious.
Or just say, you know, we don't know what's going on behind closed doors and, you know, what their family life is like. And, you know, just saying, hey, is something going on? You know, I don't understand.
Or just asking questions, but saying it in a way that's not coming at, coming at a way of just being kind of attacking.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the number one thing. Like, you feel like, you know, why are you asking me this? Like, I'm not doing anything wrong, but maybe they just don't understand, you know, where you're coming from.
That's true too. And that's where you can always, you know, lead with love and then just kind of be that change. Not to be cliche, but I mean, if sounds like you were acting out of those principles and being open and kind with other people, and that will, you know, you'll kind of create your own tribe. Have you noticed that just from your friend groups or maybe from people from work, I mean, what do you think your support system kind of looks like and consists of now?
So I surround myself with people that just are that are positive, you know, and I'm a very laid back mom. So a lot of my friends, you know, mom friends are laid back and just go with the flow. And, you know, I try not to be that helicopter mom.
Right.
Which happens, you know, sometimes too.
Oh, yeah.
But I'm more of the type of mom that, you know, lets kids go out and, you know, if they are disagreeing on something, that they will figure out how to agree and to sort out their differences and on their own. You know, I just support myself with people, or I'm sorry, surround myself with people that are just positive, you know, but every person that I surround myself with, I know their story. I know that they have struggled as a mom. They're very open about the struggling every day. And, you know, and there's times where I'm like, oh my God, I'm the worst mom ever. And, you know, but they're like, eh, whatever, you know, it happens. And, you know,
just kind of shrug it off and tomorrow's a new day. And sometimes your kids will love you, sometimes not.
Yeah. And I mean, like the other day, I'm trying to teach Claire how to ride a two-wheel bike. And she wanted to do it, but she just wasn't really serious about it. And she kept like putting her feet down, like trying to pretend to fall. And then she like let go of the handlebars. And I'm like, Claire, you never let go of the handlebars, you know, that.
Oh, yeah.
That can be pretty dangerous. And she goes, I'm done. And I'm like, get back on this bike. We're doing this. And this is me like, you know, pushing her into something obviously she wasn't ready to do. Now that I look back on the situation, and I was a little rough with her, and I just, my mom was with me, and Claire got off the bike. I took the bike and I like slammed it down on the pavement like a maniac. And my mom's like, you are such a B. She called me the B word. I don't know if I'm allowed to swear on here or not.
You can do whatever. You're fine.
Okay. Well, she called me a bitch. And I'm like, you know. And then as I thought about it, I'm like, oh, my God, what am I teaching my daughter? Like, I just had the biggest tantrum and I threw the bike, and then a piece broke off from the bike and she
Oh man, and
started
I'm sure that made you more pissed.
crying and she's like, "You just broke my bike." And then
Oh.
I'm like, "Oh, I was just showing you that the bike bounces if it falls." Like, I felt like the biggest bully and jerk. And I'm like, I cannot believe I just did that. Like, I don't know what happened.
What good awareness you had of that situation, 'cause like you said, no one's going to be a perfect, you don't have to be a perfect parent to be a perfect parent.
There is no perfect parent.
Right.
I mean, I'm just like, oh my God. And I remember texting my girlfriend, and she has the two twin boys. And I'm like, I am the worst mom ever. Like, I cannot believe I let my emotions get a hold of me and my frustration. And I don't even, like, I'm acting like I'm five. You know, there's times where my daughter throws herself on the floor and I just let her do it. I'm, you know, I don't care if people are looking at me. I don't care if they're judging me. I'm just like, you know, she's having a moment and this is her coping mechanism at this time. It's annoying, yes, but at the grocery store, I just walk away from her. Like, when you feel like you're ready to get up, then great. I'll be down the aisle here.
Does she, when you start walking away, do you notice that she jumps up and follows, or
Yes.
does she take her time?
She'll kind of look around and she'll realize like everybody's looking at her, and then she gets more embarrassed about.
And it's not the audience she was hoping for, since she likes to be kind of the center star.
Yes. So it's just kind of like, okay, I'm over it, you know. And
Yep.
then I'm one of the two, you left
Both
me. I'm
on your
like, well, I'm trying to grocery shop, but I just told her, I'm like, you know, I said to my girlfriend, I'm like, I just threw the bike down, like slammed it on the pavement. Like, I'm the biggest asshole ever. And it made me really sad that night. Like, I even right, like, I'm still traumatized by it. I'm like, I cannot believe that I did that. And, you know, my girlfriend's like, it's okay. You are just having a mom tantrum. It happens, you know. And that night, even, she would wake up in her sleep crying about her bike.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow. Like,
That's some salt to the wound.
Mom of the Year award right here. But you know, I can't dwell on it. I did it, it's done, and I just can
Just gotta
learn
move.
from it and just try to, you know, keep a hold of my emotions and move on, you know.
Nope, it's great awareness of that too. So how did that go kind of with your mom after? Like, how was it with you and her? You don't have to go like deep into it. Was she just, did she just kind of shrug it off, or was she like, holy moly?
She laughed, actually. She's like, you know, you are the biggest bitch. And I was like, I know. And I'm like,
Love your.
you know, and it was just like, she's just like, I can't believe you did that. She goes, I should have recorded you. Because she was recording it, and she goes, I did not hit the stop button so you could just see how ridiculous you look.
Oh my goodness. And that probably, did you kind of figure out right in that moment?
I was like, I'm an idiot. You know? And then, like, later on
Everybody
that night,
has that though.
I was even afraid to say anything to my husband about it because he's gonna think, like, oh my God, you're an unfit mother. Like, why would you do that?
Oh.
Like, I don't want him to judge me.
Right.
But again, it's real life, and you know, he's my support system and kind of my rock. And through all of this, he has to be, you know. And I kind of told him, but not like the whole story. I kind of
Sure.
like eased into it. And then my mom's like, yeah, let's talk about the bike. And I'm like, you know, I already felt horrible. I still feel horrible. I'm like, Mom, just stop. Like, don't even talk about it anymore, please.
She's still there. Oh
But I'm
gosh.
like, you know, I'm like, why did I do that?
Right. But
So.
wouldn't you say, even besides outside mom moments, I mean, haven't you ever noticed yourself even
As an adult.
from even something that's unrelated to Claire?
Oh, yeah. I mean, there's
Yeah.
times, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
you know, even at work, I throw tantrums, and you know, some people are like, "You got to get over this." Like, I know, but right now I'm feeling this, and
you know. It's so challenging because you're in that moment, and you know that maybe it's not the best thing, but
at the same time.
But it's sometimes nice to have other people that kind of bring us back down to earth and just kind of allow us to process and reflect it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because we're like, oh yeah, that probably wasn't the best thing. I remember Brad and I were at Target and I wanted this table for the kitchen. I get super set on things. I'm very stubborn in that way. I'm very manic. Like if I'm decorating an area, I want everything to be kind of right then, very right. Instant gratification.
Well, you have your own perception on how you want it.
Oh yeah.
How it has to be, and you get set on that. You're absolutely right.
Yep. So I found this table and I was like, this is the one. And Brad's like, are you sure you don't want to look at other ones? Because I just had came up with this idea that I wanted this like little two chair bistro set up in the house. And I'm like, no, this is what I want. And we were just getting in a tiff about it. And I did. I threw like a tantrum because he's like, no, like, let's just keep moving. And I just flipped out. And I'm like, and then I felt
I
so.
I want this now.
Felt like it was like a moment where he was like talking to me like a dad, and I just couldn't do it. I was like an unruly child, and he's like, "You're acting like a kid." And then later on, we laugh about it now because it's like, remember the Target moment? I'm like, how could I forget? So I mean, that happens to everyone, and we just have to give ourselves grace and just be like, you know, it happened. It sucked. It was kind of shitty, but I'm going to keep moving forward. And then it's something you can look back and laugh on to later.
Yeah.
But it's hard when it's recent and you're still processing it and kind of sulking your wounds from it too.
Well, and it's the same thing too, like the same feeling like with kids' birthday parties. You know, you see all this stuff or all these Pinterest ideas that are like, oh my God, this is so great. And I'm going to do this and this and this. And then you know, you tell your husband or your partner or whomever, and they're like, what? Why would you do that? Or why do you need that right now? And it's like, you have in your head, I'm doing this, this, and this. I already got the stuff for this.
Oh, yeah. Especially
theme. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then they're like, no, we're not spending the money on that, and we're not doing that. That's way over the top and blah, blah, blah. And you're like, oh, well. You know, and then you throw a tantrum because that's what you want to do.
Yes.
And I think
you somehow have to compromise at some point, or you just still do it and move forward.
Well, I mean, there's times where I'm selfish and I'm like, I'm an adult and like, you're not going to tell me.
That's exactly with the table. I bought the table that day.
Yeah. You're like, I'm an adult and I can buy this. You don't have to tell me, you know, I'm going to get it.
You know, it's such a kid thing.
And but I think too, like, it stems back to, like, you know, your own childhood dilemmas and your experiences that you grew up with, and you know.
Oh, absolutely. And especially there are some kids that struggled a lot more. Some kids are more fortunate. And so that really affects and just how their parents treated them. And
right.
Yeah, just family dynamics can just affect a person's perspective and just how they fight, how they argue, how they disagree. And like you said, what you see as well.
Right.
Because what you see deemed as acceptable. Mm-hmm. I know it can be so tough too, especially if one person is more of a, let's fight it out right now, and somebody's more of an observer, take it in and reflect later and then talk about it. That can
be that's too. My husband and I are completely different. If we
same with Brad and I, yep,
are having an argument, he will go full force right then and there, and it's, let's talk about this. And I'm
that's
like,
how I am. That's how I
right
am.
Now. I'm Mitchell. I need to like think about what I'm going to say because A, I'm really pissed off and I don't want to say anything that's going to hurt you. So I need to reflect and to think about what I'm going to say.
Man, does that come from your guys' family from some parts? Because
It may.
Brad is that same way.
You know, we're just, I just like to think about it and, you know, get all my ducks in a row as much as possible
No,
to.
it's beautiful and so admirable. Because in that moment, I'm so frustrated. I'm like, no, let's talk now. But then I realize how beautiful that is that somebody can wait, hold their tongue, process, and make sure what they say is kind,
Yeah.
honest, and necessary.
Well, even you know, with Claire, there's times I hate yelling at her, and Mitchell's like so much better at doing the like the booming dad voice, like Claire. And I'm like, don't you dare yell at her like that. But you know, sometimes you just need to like grab her attention and be like, hey, like what you're doing is not okay. And you know, and then I'm always the type that goes back and like, well, you know, mommy yelled at you because.
Oh, yes. That's great, though, because that just helps her understand what's happening and kind of helps her process, too.
Yeah. But
That's
it's
very
just, you
cool.
know, it's tough either way, I guess.
Oh, absolutely. Does Claire have a lot of little friends?
She does. I think like some, you know, it depends. So she has a couple of like there's a really good friend of hers that live next door to my mom. She's a little bit older. I believe she's 11. But she's like so great with Claire, but she has all brothers. They're five kids and she's the only girl. So I think like for her to kind of take a break from her brothers and hang out with Claire, even though it's
Oh,
just
yeah,
like,
probably just to have like a little sister.
yeah, like Barbies and whatnot, you know, or they like to do the slime and whatever, you know, but Claire told me the other day, you know, this friend of hers, she's like, I just love her so much. And, you know, she kind of looks up to her. And I think that's great. But,
That's a good little mentor.
yeah. And, you know,
Girls.
two twin boys that she goes to school with, they just actually moved up on top of the mountain and they live right down the road from us. So that's a nice little, you know, quick, like, oh, let's get together so the kids can play, and
Oh,
she
that's
likes to hang
awesome.
out with them, and they're very outdoorsy too. So I mean, they love outdoor things, you know, they're boys, they like to be in the water, and you know, we go hiking with them, and it's just a good little, you know, time out from reality and just hang with our friends, and
Yeah, and just to be in nature too,
yeah.
which is always so healing in its own way, just
For
to unplug.
me, I love it. I love being outside and just, you know, it helps.
Oh, yeah, and I love that you get to live in the country too, and I bet the stars are amazing.
Oh yeah, because there's like no, I don't know what it's called, but you know, like when you're in the city or town.
Smog and light pollution and
Yes, here there's none of that. And it's
yeah.
funny, my aunt that lives in Florida, she lives in Orlando, and when she comes here, she's like, oh my God, this reminds me of being back home. You know, we don't
Oh.
see this in Orlando. This is beautiful.
Oh yeah.
So
You don't
it's
even think of it as like a hobby or a observation because it's not like we can see it in the city.
right.
So when you get to, it's like the first time you've seen
Right,
it.
it's like, oh my God, you know, you almost forget, like,
Oh, yes.
you know.
That's something that's just amazing. Do you guys have any fireflies right now?
No, not yet. It's actually, I have not seen any, but it's been really rainy here. It rains like every day. And
Yeah, because we're all in Seattle currently.
yeah. Or
Oh,
England, that's the other thing I say. Oh, we, you know, because on top of the mountain, it's always foggy and rainy. And I feel like it's
I
England, like all the time.
just picture you're in a castle on top of the
Yeah.
hill.
It's been very wet. So, and cold, actually. Like, I mean, last night we were in the low 40s here. So it's, you know, some days it's like 88 degrees. And then the next day it's like 42. So.
Yeah, so everything's the same as it is here in Indiana, too. So, We're on the same page with that. Besides the fog and the beautiful stars, everything else is the same.
Everything's the same. It's wet and flooding and whatever.
Oh yeah, absolutely. So for when you think about, for just still on the mom topic, because obviously you have a separate identity from a mom too, but what I wanted to ask is there anything that just makes you anxious for Claire growing up in the world, or what would you say are your biggest concerns when you look at the world and just for looking at little Claire and just what's out there? It doesn't necessarily have to be predator wise, but just in general.
So again, I think it stems back from my childhood dilemmas. I was actually, when I lived in New York, I lived out in the country in New York, New York State. And I had a man approach me and my stepsister, and I was Claire's age and probably a little bit younger than her, like probably four. But we were just out walking, you know, and I remember like him approaching us and saying that he had candy and that our parents said it was okay for us to get in the car with him. Obviously, we did not get in the car with him.
Thank God.
And we ran, and I told my dad about it, but, you know, nothing was ever done about it, really. It was just like, well, you know, you did the right thing, just stay away from that. And also, you know, growing up, our one babysitter, her boyfriend molested these two girls that were in our group there. My brother and I were never touched. But I remember, you know, 4 years old going to the police station and, you know, reporting it and just them asking us questions and if we've seen anything. And, you know, and at that age, you don't really know what's going on and you're just kind of like, but, you know, and I've asked my mom now that I'm a mom, I'm like, you know, because, you know, they had to work and, you know, we had to put food on our table and whatever. Yeah. But I was like, weren't you like terrified? And she's like, every day, you know,
wow.
Every day I worried about you guys, but what else can you do? Like, you know, she has to work, she has to pay the bills. And, you know, because that happened to me, I'm like terrified to leave Claire with anybody that's yep. like not family or, you know, I'm just terrified. So
wow.
That's like one thing I'm scared of. And I hate that, like me growing up as a kid, I just remember like playing manhunt, you know, with all the kids in our town.
Oh, yeah.
You know, we grew up in a small town and it didn't matter what age you were. We were all together all the time. We played Foursquare, Tag, Red Rover, you name it. And it was great. You know, we would go to the playground, we would ride bikes all over the place, we'd be in and out of everybody's house, and we didn't have an adult watching us. You know, my parents worked and we were just out playing with everyone else. And you know, when my parents came home and it was dinner time, we all got called in and that was it. And I feel like now, you know, you can't even let your kid walk to a playground by themselves without you getting in trouble.
Yes.
And
that's true.
I just feel like there's less freedom for them to go out and explore on their own. And I don't know. I don't like that. You know, that bothers me.
Yeah. I'd be curious to see too, how that affects kids, like their psyche.
Yeah.
I know nothing about that, but I'm just,
I don't either.
I'd be curious. Just because like you said, you build so much just in your brain just from exploring and playing and like just
yeah.
learning. Sometimes they say even the more unstructured playgrounds or things that are kind of dangerous are honestly better for them because they learn more about their body and their reflexes and because everything's not so.
Yeah.
And I'm like, wow, because
well,
I'm kind of a safety patrol, so that's a weird concept for me.
Well, even like, you know, letting kids climb up the slides on the playground, you always hear parents like, oh my God, stop climbing up the slide. That's not how we do it. Well, of course, we know as in our adult brain, we climb up the ladder or whatever and slide down the slide. And, in that time that they're climbing up the slides, you as a parent is like, that's not how it works, But they're building their muscles, they're, figuring out how to climb up the slide and thinking, just being open and,
Probably a little bit of strategizing too.
yeah, because it, I mean, I probably couldn't climb up a slide now if I tried, but
I hear you.
they have to think like, okay, I have to put my hand here and hold myself, you just have to strategize and get through it. And it's just like, let the kids play, let them figure it out. And,
It's interesting how we create so many rule followers, but that's a whole different conversation.
I agree.
Yeah. So would you say, just on the topic from us talking about kind of the anxiety just with having kiddos and stuff, I know you said that it's just more the protecting of your child too, and just not being sure of any other people. Is there anything else that when you think of in the world? And I know that's pretty broad.
I don't,
Not trying to make you be a worry wart or like think about
No,
it, but
I mean,
I'm curious.
even I mean, as being a mom, I worry with anything, really.
Okay.
Like just her growing up, like I know me growing up again from my own personal experiences, like, girls are catty, they make fun of you, they're just vicious sometimes. And I just hope for her that, she can take on these burdens and just be a strong, independent woman and just say, just be the kind spirit in the world that everybody's looking for, and just, just for herself and to be easygoing and just to be at peace with who she is. And I don't know.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely beautiful. From seeing her personality, do you think that, because you know how they say sometimes, like, with not that you should like program kids into like what they would be when they grow up, but just from what are some things that you just kind of in, just kind of playfully envision for her as her future, just from her strengths?
I don't know, and I'm almost afraid to even like think of what I want her to be
You
when
don't
she
want
grows
her
up,
to be in a box. Yeah.
because I don't want to get that, like, again, we're going back to buying that table at Target or, the birthday parties. This is what we want for my child.
Yeah.
I'm almost like, you know what? I'm just, as long as
You're along for the ride, along for the journey, and being present.
she can make a living, and I mean, everybody struggles, but as long as she can live comfortably and be okay with what she's doing, I'm okay with that.
That's awesome. And also probably know that she has supports, obviously, in her family, and hopefully a good friend connection group, and knowing some other mentors is always kind of a cool thing too.
I mean, she's told me she wants to be a cowgirl, and then it was a police officer,
Oh
and then
my
it
gosh,
was a veterinarian, and then a doctor, and then now she just went to a trip. They had a field trip to the grocery store, and I guess this woman, her name was Cindy. Shout out to Cindy.
Cindy.
She was cutting the fruit at ShopRite. That's the grocery store's name. And she goes, "Mom, Cindy put on this cool glove," which I guess it was like a mesh stainless steel. I don't know exactly what it was. My husband went. But gloves so she wouldn't cut herself. And she said, Claire's like, she cut that watermelon so fast, and I want to be like Cindy when I grow up. And I'm like, that's awesome.
Girl, be Cindy. I love it.
So, I mean, I'm at the point where I'm like, whatever you want to do, as long as you can do it and want to do it and live comfortably and support your habits and yourself, go for it.
I love that so much. That's so cool. You're a great mama. I know that just from what you've talked about, and I appreciate you sharing with, well, with me for sure, but with people too, just your journey and and that everything's not always through rose-colored glasses.
Yes.
You're struggling, though you can still be happy about your child and be really proud that there's still, you know, some things that just sometimes happen chemically with our brains, and that's okay, and we just need to learn to reach out.
Yes, and talk about it. Talk about the realities of parenting, yep, or struggling, or, you know, whatever. It's hard. It's parenting, mm-hmm, is so hard when you have to take care of this little tiny human. Like, I can't even keep plants alive. And I'm like, oh my God, I have a kid. And, oh, but we just roll with it. And we do the best we can every day. And every day is different, you know?
Absolutely. I know this is like no comparison at all, but it's the only frame of reference I have. I remember when I was about to adopt our foster dog, and I know, like I said, I know I'm coming off as that girl with a dog, so I get it. But only frame of reference that I have, and I was terrified to be a dog owner, because I'm like, I know I'm not gonna walk him every day, like, and I was like, oh no, like, I don't know how to take care of him. I've never had my own dog. Like, we've had dogs growing up, but it was never my responsibility.
Right.
And I was, and it was so much anxiety. So I can.
Well, it's the same thing having a kid. I mean, a dog is like a kid. You have to feed the dog. The dog gets sick. You have to take the dog to the vet. It's the same thing. I mean, you know, you have this living thing relying on you, and you have to put this.
Just leave a kid at home.
Right. And every day, you know, you have to take care of, whether you're a dog mom, a mom, like, whatever. Everybody's a mom. If, you know, you got to put them first. You got to feed them. You got to take care of them. You nurture them. And it's all the same.
Yeah, definitely. So I have so much kudos and hold so much high regards for moms, because I'm like you said, I'm like, gosh, it's hard enough to try to make an attempt to take care of myself. Or I think I was telling my mom that with my plants, I'm like, sometimes I wonder if, like, I'm a little psychotic, because sometimes I, like, wonder how long they can go without water, because I just get lazy. And I'm like, well, they're still doing okay. And it's like, well, they're not prospering as well as they probably could be. But I hear you. There's so many different challenges. And like you said, each situation for every parent is so unique too.
Yes. Yes.
And there's just so much stress, like you said, from social media on what the perfect mom looks like. And I know even some moms struggle with, they don't want to play with their kids. They grew up, they were just, you know, they had toys as kids, but their parents weren't on the floor with them. So that's like a huge thing that some people go through. And I'm like, holy cow, there's so many things I never even thought of.
Well, even like with cell phones too. Like, for me, my cell phone is a huge distraction. And there's times where I'm like, you know, Claire's like, Mom, look at me, look at me. And I'm on my phone. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm never going to get this moment back with my daughter. Like, put the phone down. She is the most important thing to me. And, you know, I just feel like we're just easily distracted at times too. And, you know,
are so tough, because it's almost like an extension of ourselves sometimes. It's kind of our lifeline in different ways, and maybe not that dramatic, but you get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It provides social, it provides directions, it provides information, it provides camera abilities. It's almost that, I'm not saying technology is good or technology is bad, because it's, you know, there's so many pros and cons. It depends on what perspective you have and, you know, where you're looking at it. But it is something where it is very distracting. And it's sometimes you just kind of get sucked into that moment, because as a mom too, you still need time for yourself.
Yes.
So what do you find for you? Like you said, that you are working, so that kind of takes a little bit of time out of the mom role. Is there anything that you do at home? And I know that can be hard, especially if you're trying to take care of Claire and keep everything rolling around with the farm and the house too. Do you notice, is there anything you ever do for yourself, or is there something you're wanting to do? And
I don't really get to do a lot for myself. But there's times where, like, I'll go get a pedicure or, you know, and I'll say to my husband, like, can you watch her just for an hour, you know, just to get away. But I feel like when you get away, you almost feel guilty. Like, oh, Claire would love to be here doing this. And, you know, but I just love being with my daughter. And there's times where I need time to myself and, you know, but she goes to school and I'm home without her. But by the end of the day, I'm so bored. I'm like, oh my God, I miss her. And,
Right. You know, that's like
it's too quiet.
They're like, oh, I can't wait to go on a vacation, but then they miss their kids like crazy.
Yeah, I went to New Zealand 2 years ago, and it was an amazing trip.
Awesome.
And it was almost just about 2 weeks, and you know, I didn't bring Claire with me because she, you know, she was too young to do an 18-hour flight each way, and you know, and I went bungee jumping and all this other stuff. But
wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it really was amazing. But, you know, every day I FaceTimed her, but it was to the point she didn't even want to talk to me.
Oh,
she's like, you're on vacation. I'll talk to you later. And I'm like, no, I want to see you and talk to you. I miss you. You know, do you miss mommy? You know, and I wanted to hear her say, yes, she misses me. But that's like in my own perception. But she was just having the greatest time without me, like just hanging with her dad. And like, I'm like, oh my God.
That's so hard too, because in your heart, you know that she needs that time and she is young and it's a difference of perception because she knew you were going to be back. But you, like you said, part of you probably wanted her to not miss you and part of you wanted her to really miss you.
Yes. Yeah.
So. Aww. That's hard. When you got back, how was it?
It was good. She gave me a big hug. Like, it was almost like she was in disbelief that I was, like, in front of her.
Aww.
She's like, Mom, you're back.
I just want to give another big shout out to Lauren for being on the podcast. Thank you for sharing your story and hopefully touching the hearts too of other struggling moms out there and just letting them know to reach out, and it's okay to reach out, to build your support group, and it's okay to do things differently, do what works for you. And again, just talking about having that open mind and providing that space for your children just to explore too. So I think that's very important. So I just want to give you guys a big thanks and kudos for listening to this podcast and just supporting it as it's, you know, growing slowly but surely. And I hope you guys have a wonderful day, a wonderful evening. Thanks again for tuning in. Love you guys.